am your host, Clinton Cole, and joining me today, back for his second time, the pre- and post-game, White Sox pre- and post-game host at NBC Sports Chicago, amongst other things there. He has his own podcast as well, the White Sox Talk podcast. Find that on iTunes and everywhere else. It is Chuck Garfine. Chuck, what's going on, man?
Not much. Thanks for having me on again, Clinton.
Absolutely. I think we talked, I don't know, maybe it was back in May, I think, maybe April or May. So a lot has happened in the White Sox and with the White Sox and with their minor league system. But we'll get right to it. The biggest name, obviously, the two biggest names in the White Sox minor league systems, Michael Kopech and Eloy Jimenez. We'll start with Kopech. He is the one that is up with the White Sox. We'll get to the Eloy stuff in a second. But Kopech's rain-shortened starts, and then his what have you made out of Michael Kopech's starts? I know last night not his best, but the other one's pretty good. But what have you made of Kopech's starts thus far?
You know, it's a work in progress, not just for him, but for, like, the weather. I mean, he's had three starts that have been affected by rain and delays, so we're not getting a full view on him in that respect. I mean, he had two innings and three innings, and then he had a weird one last night where he pitched for a little bit, came back, and then struggled. Then had the one good outing in Detroit. But, you know, I see the stuff, and the stuff plays up here, and I wasn't expecting, and I don't think anyone was expecting or shouldn't have been expecting Kopech to just dominate every single start. It doesn't work that way. Just look at, you know, basically every pitcher in the last 15 years, they have some bumps and bruises along the way in their first season or two. So, you know, I think that, you know, I like what I see. And, I mean, he struggled last night. His velocity wasn't there. But he's a guy that is going to fix what's wrong with him. And he's a hard worker. And I was talking to Steve McCaddy, who's the Charlotte Knights pitching coach. He was actually – he's here for about 10 days. And I was asking him about, you know, what Kopech is like. And he's someone who, besides being a great pitcher, is a great kid. He wants to do better. And, you know, he – doesn't let bad starts get to him. He's not kind of like a life or death kind of pitcher who gets all stressed out after a bad start. He's able to like wipe it from his memory bank, although he wants to learn things from it. But, you know, I'm seeing some good stuff from him and we'll kind of go forward. There's no reason to define what he is right now.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to the start against the Cubs. I think he does, right now, maybe seem to pitch a little better when there's more on him, more of a spotlight on him. That's what we saw against the Twins. And but, you know, he did admit to me after his Red Sox start, he was a little too amped up facing them. He hit Mookie Betts with his first pitch and then walked Benintendi on four pitches. But I don't know, I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. It's been exciting to watch him. And we'll see what happens going forward.
What did you think about the timing of him getting called up?
I felt it was the right time to bring him up. You know, he had totally been dominating in AAA. I think it was six or seven starts, 59 strikeouts, four walks. He had clearly been struggling with things in the middle of the summer and needed to work on making some improvements with his mechanics, his command. And the time was right to bring him up. So I think it was they chose the right moment to promote him.
All right, let's move on to the other top prospect of the White Sox, Eloy Jimenez. I mean, he's hitting darn near 400 for the Knights. He hit darn near 400 for the Knights when he got called up. Clearly the talent's there. Clearly he's ready. Sox said they're not going to call him up this year. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, if I was the White Sox, I'd probably do the same thing because this is it's not as simple as, oh, he's ready to come up here. Let's bring him up. Once upon a time, that was the reality of baseball. And when the White Sox were trying to win, if they were in win now mode, he'd be here because they did that with Carlos Rodon and Chris Sale. And even last year, they did it with Moncada. Now they weren't even in win now mode. But Mankata had already been promoted. He was with the Red Sox, and so was Giolito and Lopez. So those were different clock situations for them. But I just keep going back to this. Do you want to see Eloy Jimenez up here with the White Sox for 1 month, and you can feel good about it right now and get the instant gratification of having Jimenez here? Or do you play the service time game and have him for the entire 2025 season when he's in his prime and he's 28 years old? I'd rather have that. So, you know, the White Sox aren't stupid, and they're not the first ones to do this. Just look at what they did, the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. It's basically the same thing. And Bryant spent the whole, I think I'm trying to get the years right, he spent the whole 2014 season in AAA, the whole year. And he was a AAA player of the year, and the Cubs kept him down there. Eloy spent half the year in AA, and or a little more than half the year in AA, and then the rest in AAA. So, you know, I would keep him down there because this is the system and the way it is. Now, could the White Sox be a little more transparent about this? Maybe. But I think that's probably what's going on, and I would probably do the same if I was Rick Hahn and company.
So, I mean, you know he's going to perform in spring training. You know he's going to be ready. But he's going to start next year in AAA again and just wait to that time?
Yep, that's how I look at it. That's what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. And everyone was up in arms. Scott Boras was going crazy about this. He was ripping the Cubs. Cubs fans are going crazy. Just do a quick Google search. Chris Bryant, service time, and you can read all about it. And no one talks about it today. We're in the midst of this with Eloy Jimenez, so everyone's up in arms about it. But, you know, this is the way it is. And I think this is where this is all going. Unless between now and opening day, maybe the White Sox and Eloy Jimenez come to an agreement on an extension and this whole service time thing and arbitration doesn't become an issue, and then they can bring him up. If you're not going to bring him up in September, and then I doubt you're going to bring him up for 2 weeks in April just to satisfy your fan base for 2 weeks when you should really satisfy them in the year 2025. When, you know, then you'll get a full year of Eloy Jimenez before he's a free agent. Now, you could say, well, the CBA might change before then, or it probably is going to change before then. Well, what if it doesn't? You have to go on what the reality is, what you're faced with right now from a financial standpoint. And it is a joke that we have to talk about this, like the finances of a player who should be in the majors right now. He's better than Ryan Cordell. He's better than every single outfielder the White Sox have promoted here this year, but this is the agreement that was made between the Players Association and the owners, and these are the rules. And you have to, if you're a GM and you're considering the finances of your team and players, you have to make choices that are best suited for your franchise going forward. And I think you lay out all the cards and you see what the situation is. I see no other reason than having him. I mean, where we sit here right now, that he would probably spend the first 2 weeks in AAA and then you promote him. And that's just the way it is.
White Sox pre- and post-game host on NBC Sports Chicago, Chuck Garfine, my guest here on the Future Sox podcast. I'm going to skip ahead and then we'll go back to another couple minor leaguers. But let's just say... the Sox say, hey, let's go. I mean, you know, they go after Machado. They go after Patrick Corbin. Then do they bring him up at the beginning of the year? Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just know Sox fans out there are going to be like, you know, why not? So.
Because you'll say, oh, you could cost the White Sox a chance to make the playoffs if you have them down in AAA for 2 years.
Right.
And then I'll go back to 2025. Well, mm-hmm. Then, you know, and who knows if they can compete in 2019. I don't know. But I would rather have a full season of him in 2025 when he's in his prime. That's your better chance. And there's no guarantees in anything in life, certainly not in baseball, but I think you're in the same boat. And I wouldn't sign Patrick Corbin. I wouldn't spend all that money on a pitcher. And the track record for Jerry Reinsdorf is to not spend, you know, sign starting pitchers to long-term deals. And if you're looking for An example as to why I'm totally convinced it's not going to happen again is that the last time he spent a lot of money on a pitcher and probably went out of his comfort zone, he signed John Danks. And look what happened there.
Yep.
So Patrick Corbin, name any starting pitcher on the free agent market. I highly, highly, highly doubt the White Sox are going to sign anyone like that. And you could certainly argue that they don't need to. I would rather them sign outfielder. Well, actually, I don't even need outfielders. They need to think about third base. They might need to think about shortstop potentially, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from Tim Anderson, certainly defensively, and his offensive numbers have improved. You know, maybe a first baseman down the road. But I would rather see the money spent there and in the bullpen than a starting pitcher as we sit here right now.
I am in 100% agreement. I just know that Sox fans are they are up in arms, and they'll think of any other situation or any other scenario where they can get him up sooner than rather than later.
No, and that's fine. But White Sox fans, I'd like to think, are smart enough to just look at what's going on here. I mean, you gotta look at everything. And if you have an opinion and you want to, and you feel like he should be up right now, that's fine. Totally fine. I can disagree with you, and you can disagree with me. But this is how I look at it. And I'll be the first to say that like 2 months ago, I wanted Eloy Jimenez up, but as I wanted him up in June or July. But as the season went on and he hadn't been up here yet, it then got to the point of, okay, well, what are we talking about here? And why do we need him up here in this small window in 2018 when in the long term you want him when he's in his prime up here? So that's kind of, I mean, because I know way I changed my mind about it too, but things with the White Sox and Jimenez changed as well in terms of, I don't know if they changed, but my perception of what was happening changed, and he was not going to be rushed up here, that's for sure, and that didn't happen.
Last thing on this topic, do you have any idea what the Blue Jays fan base is like with Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I mean, similar situation. It's not exactly the same, but another guy that just tore up the minor leagues. Do you have any idea what their situation's like?
It's probably the same. He's 2 years younger than him.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and they're not – they're going to be in transition as well, or if they're not – or they might already be in transition. So – what's the rush bringing him up? It's almost the same thing. I mean, there might be some small intricacies that are different, but in essence, it's the same boat. And if it wasn't, you would have seen Guerrero up here already too, and that hasn't happened.
All right, let's move on to a couple other players in the Sox system. Another reason why I'm in your train of thought with not signing a big-name pitcher, that's Dylan Cease, my MLB Pipeline Pitcher of the Year award winner that named that today. I mean, he was just... you couldn't have asked for a better season out of Dylan Cease this year. He pitched well at each level, and that's a guy I know that I'm thinking of, I'm counting on, I've talked to him a lot, you know, that's going to be in that Sox rotation for years to come, hopefully.
Yeah, I remember I was in Kansas City for the first series of the season, and someone with the White Sox said to me, because there was so much attention on Kopech, and someone said to me that they looked at Cease and Kopech as potential aces. And right now it's like, oh, of course he's a potential ace. But that was not the case from a lot of – no one was thinking that about Dylan Cease at the start of the year. There was a lot of talk about, oh, he could be a great bullpen guy, maybe a closer. Could be a starter, but, I mean, what's his ceiling? Who knew? Because, I mean, when the White Sox traded for him, obviously there was a high – he was a highly ranked prospect. But, I mean, he was 0-9. In Kannapolis, some crazy record like that, but he had an ERA like in the high threes. He had the stuff, but you know, he wasn't dominating. Well, he dominated this year, and it was great to see him go from Winston-Salem up to Birmingham, and he continued to excel, and that showed a lot to me. And now you see MLB Pipeline anointing him their Pitcher of the Year. That's great. Now he's got a great, you know, you've talked with him, and he's got a great head on his shoulders, and the stuff this year was dynamite, and I'm really looking forward to him. We'll see where he starts next year. I'm guessing he's going to start in AAA. If he starts in AAA, maybe it does feel like he's on the Michael Kopech path.
Right.
So if he's on the Michael Kopech path, he'll start next year in AAA, and if he continues to pitch the way, if he pitches like he did this year and or follows suit with Michael Kopech, he'll be up here sometime August or September of next year. So that's exciting.
I think the, you know, so like you said, such a good guy off the field too. You know, he's got between the ears like Kopech. I think what maybe stands out to me the most is his stamina. I know you talk about a bullpen guy, but then when you're sitting there, pitch 99, pitch 100 of the game, and he's throwing 99 and 100, it's just, I mean, that's, you don't see that a ton with a lot of young guys. They wear out easy, it seems.
Yeah, and it was funny. I remember I was interviewing him in spring training, and there was all this focus and attention on Kopech and how he meditates, because Kopech's been very open and honest about it. And then out of nowhere, he says, oh, yeah, I meditate too. I'm like, you're doing that as well? Like, these guys, you know, these new age pitchers, we got two of them now in the White Sox organization who, you know, are realizing the tool that is the brain and how important it is to stay level-headed and keep your temper or keep your composure. And it's such a mental game. And, you know, the thought of, you know, if someone would have brought up meditating 30, 20, 15, 10 years ago in baseball, they would have been laughed at. And now these, if you want to call them millennial type prospects who are coming up, it's more accepted and they're using this to their advantage. So it's really kind of cool to see. It's going to be fun to watch Cease and Kopech in the future, assuming they stay healthy, what they'll be able to bring to this organization. It's exciting.
Chuck Garfine joining me here on the Future Sox podcast. One more minor league question, then I'm going to ask you a Sox question. We'll wrap things up. Outside of Kopech, Eloy, and Cease, give me a pitcher and a position player in the Sox minor league system that's really impressed you the most this season. For me, Tyler Johnson and Luis Gonzalez. I mean, out of the guys I've seen, I didn't see anybody in Birmingham. But for me, those two guys, I mean, really stood out to me. What about you?
Hitting-wise, Luis Gonzalez for sure. Blake Rutherford is, you know, I don't think he's been talked about enough. You know, he came over from the Yankees, and he was a very light-hitting outfielder last year. Not a lot of power, didn't have, you know, was not, he was struggling, I think, you know, when he got traded and just didn't have, wasn't showing much. But this whole year, he was probably the most consistent hitter outside of Jimenez in the minor leagues. Up and down their whole system. I mean, he just stayed at right around 300 all year. Didn't go into big slumps. He's good on defense and two. So I would go with Blake Rutherford. I like your Luis Basabe pick as well. I like your Luis Gonzalez pick, and I was thinking about Luis Basabe as well because he made a nice jump in 2018 as well. And there's a lot of guys to choose from. Pitching-wise, Bernardo Flores. I like what he's doing. I haven't watched enough of him to really get a good grasp of what he's like, but from what people tell me and looking at his statistics, I think he is someone to watch. And, you know, it's funny. I would have said Ian Hamilton, but Ian Hamilton got promoted.
Right.
And he looks really good so far in his brief stay with the White Sox. But there's a lot of guys who I'm really impressed with and what they've done. But, yeah, I'll go with Flores and a tie between Gonzalez and Rutherford.
Flores, Mr. Quality Start. Saw him a lot this year in Winston, of course. And he has continued that quality start streak to Birmingham. And he's been – I mean, he doesn't throw – I mean, he's not going to hit 98, 99, but he's 92,
That's
93.
Fine.
Hits his spots, and, you know, he controls it well.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
He's not throwing heat. He's pitching. And he's definitely taking the next step in his development this year, and that's what you want to see from these guys.
Last thing I got for you, we kind of talked on the off season a little bit. You know, you're not predicting anything major, and really, why should they? Manager situation, Ricky Renteria. You know, Sox fans seem to have their thoughts on him. I guess who's going to be the Sox manager when it's time for them to win?
You know, it's funny, like everyone's, I know, I shouldn't say everyone, if you've got a negative opinion about Ricky Renteria, I don't understand it. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, every manager, I mean, look, Joe Maddon is is uberly criticized here in Chicago, and he did win a World Series. You could say, well, the Cubs won a World Series despite him because of his errors that he made in you know, handling the bullpen. I get it. But I wouldn't. I think it's way too early to judge the job that Ricky Renteria is doing on a day-to-day managing basis because of the team that he's had out there, the choices he's had, the players he's had to work with. If you look at that roster, I mean, this is going to be the toughest part of the rebuild this year. I don't know how anybody else could have done much better with who they had, who he had to work with. So that being said, I'm really impressed with Omar Vizquel. I think he's going to be a manager in the major leagues. Would I want him to be the White Sox manager in the future? Sure. But do I want him to be, him to replace Ricky Renteria right now? No. In time, when this team is better, and that should start next year, I think at that point, then you can really take a better look at the manager and the job that he's doing. What I can say is, what you want to see from him right now is he communicating with his players? Is he relating? Is he connecting to them? Is he teaching them? Are they learning? Are they progressing? Are you seeing that? Especially the guys who are going to be your future. Like, I'm not going to start naming names, but there are some players on this team may not even be here anymore. Were they advancing? Well, maybe not, but you can't always put that on. The manager, but I like what I'm seeing from Tim Anderson. A lot of that is actually Joe McEwen, but it's also the player, and him being able to improve. Omar Narvaez. I mean, there's a lot of guys up around this whole team who have really improved. Giolito was stuck in the mud for 3 months, and now he's better. So, and that's how, that goes more to the pitching coach. But I think, you know, if you're going to talk about Joe Girardi and Omar Vizquel, you know, to manage this team, I think, let's just see what happens next year. I think it's too early to start jumping the gun and being like, okay, who's going to replace Rick Renteria because he's this kind of like short-term manager. And maybe he eventually will become that. I don't know. But, you know, I think we're being a little we're jumping the gun trying to decide who's going to be the manager of this team when they're ready to win. Right now, it could be Rick Renteria. So let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, am I making sense to you, Clinton?
Oh, no, I definitely understand. Yeah, it's just being down here wincing, you know, the buzz around Omar and how he connects the players. And it's just, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, you know, pining for Omar. And I'm in your boat. Like, how do we know what Renteria is, what he's like? Because you saw the talent on this team at the beginning of the year. The Sox have used 50 different players this year. Like, you're not going to get a good judgment of how good a manager is when they're running 50 different players out there.
You know why Omar Vizquel has done such a great job in Winston-Salem? Because of the players. They've got some of the most talent in that league. So clearly, they should have a great record because they've got great players. How would Omar Vizquel do with this team? Not much better.
No.
I'll be honest with you. Do you put any manager on this team, the talent that they had, and, I mean, actually, you could say there's a talent on this team, but they weren't, I mean, they're learning. There's so much learning. They're so young. And, you know, once they got Rodon up here, okay, once they got Kopech up here, things started settling down in the bullpen with Hamilton, and this is still new, obviously, because they've been here for like a week. But, you know, look what the White Sox have done. They've had a .500 record for almost 2 months, all right? So talent improved, record improved. Manager, I guess, improved because of it, you know? So let's pump the brakes a little bit on this idea that they need to replace Renteria. And do I want Omar Vizquel to leave the organization? No. And I would expect that he's going to get some managing job offers, not in the major leagues, but he might get like a double-A, triple-A offer for more money. I mean, that could happen. Maybe people are noticing what he's doing in high A. So I want the White Sox to keep him in the system at the very least. I don't want him to go anywhere because he's going to be in high demand, if not this year, maybe next year. So that's something for the White Sox to, you know, realize. I'm sure they're well aware of it because he's a big name. He brings a lot to the table, and he wanted to look for a minor league managing opportunity this past offseason, and really the only one he got was with the White Sox, and I think the White Sox even were feeling like, all we got is this high A team. I think you're above that, but do you want to take it? And he's like, sure. And we're seeing the results and what he's done, and he's been really impressive.
Last thing, I got a chance to go down to Kannapolis last night for the playoff game. My first time talking to Steele Walker, and I'm going to tell you what, I hope that kid makes it because he is built for the spotlight. That kid, I interviewed him, and I could have talked to him all day. He is an impressive talker. He mentioned that his number is a little down, but, I mean, this is his 100th game now. He's wearing out a little bit, but, man, that kid is he is built for the spotlight of Chicago.
Yeah, Nick Hostetler and the scouting staff were raving about him, and he seems to have some kind of it factor going there. And you know, I'll definitely be looking into. I feel bad. I haven't. It's good. What you have going for you is that you can see these guys in Kannapolis, and they're like a because of the. I have to rely on MILB TV, and they're. So few of their games are on, so I have not even seen him play with Kannapolis yet this year. So I'm hoping he gets promoted to Winston-Salem next year so I can watch more of his games. But, you know, I just he's a guy that, I mean, we were talking about, you know, he's the second-round pick this past year, or I should say this year. And, you know, we've seen guys like Luis Gonzalez, who was a third round pick last year. I mean, there's so many good outfielders. I don't know how this is all going to shake out in, you know, 2-3 years when they're all ready to come up. I hate to say it, but I think some of these guys might end up getting traded because this. But I'll just go back to this, that what makes a winning organization is organizational depth, where you've got, you know, guys at all levels who, if you just keep promoting them, they have the potential and the ability to succeed at those higher levels. So, I mean, what was going on with the White Sox before was that they would it was like they're trying to thread the needle and put all the resources basically at the major league level. But if anyone underperformed or got hurt, there was no one down below in AAA or AA who could come up and, you know, keep the train moving. Well, when you have all these outfielders, you know, who's to say they all have to be, you know, promoted at the same time, even if there's guys who are in AA and AAA who might be ready for the major leagues. Well, sorry, the White Sox are in this new era where, you know, they're in win now mode and you have to just wait your time. And like, look what happened with the Yankees. They're so loaded right now that they were able to just unload Caleb Frere, who's, you know, might be a great, seems like he'd be a great lefty prospect and has a really bright future. The Yankees had nowhere to put them, and they're going to have to rule five them. So they got some international bonus pool signing money from the White Sox. The White Sox might be in that boat. That's the hope, I guess you could say, in a couple of years, where they've got so much talent that they have nowhere to put these guys. So we'll see how this develops. But, I mean, you look at these outfielders, and I'm thinking, like, can we have, like, seven outfielders at once on this White Sox major league team? Because I don't know where all they're going to play.
It is definitely a good problem to have. Chuck, thanks for your time, man. Enjoy this last little bit of Sox season. Kopech starts, and hopefully some more Daniel Palka home runs, and we'll talk to you later, man. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. No problem.